10 games in, we'll look at where the Grizzlies rank, what they look like compared to seasons past. We'll talk about the game tonight against the Clippers. Yes, I'm going to say it. The best team in the NBA, in case you haven't been paying attention. And also, we'll give you all kinds of news and a few little salacious rumors. I love a good rumor. All that and more. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Should we have a theme song? I think maybe we should have a theme song. Should I sing it? Locked On Grizzlies, here we go. No? All right, well, if you have anything better, if you have an idea, shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com, or hit me up on Twitter. I'd like to get a little theme music going for this baby. So just give me your thoughts. I'd love to hear them. Shoot me an email, whatever you can do. I am Peter Edmiston, FYI, in case you didn't figure that out via the email address and the Twitter handle. That's me, Peter Edmiston. I host this podcast. I write for the Commercial Appeal. I am on the radio on Sports 56 and 87.7 FM. And I do all kinds of other fun stuff. So thank you for hopping aboard and downloading this podcast. Thanks again. We've gotten a lot of great reviews, a lot of good stuff on iTunes and elsewhere. I want to say a big thank you to everybody that has been on board with the pod and all you that are getting on board with the pod. It is really, really cool to see. And I can't thank you enough for all the support. It means a lot because we're cranking these babies out on a daily basis. So to see all that really helps keep us going. So it will be the Grizzlies and the Clippers tonight. We'll have the 3Q preview for that coming up later on in the pod. But I want to start with a couple of news items and maybe a few rumors. First of all, a bit of news. Expected to hear something on Tuesday about Brandon Wright. Brandon Wright was reevaluated on Monday. That sort of pesky ankle condition that he's got, that tendon that connects the calf muscle to the small bones of the foot. It's problematic when it starts to get injured, and it's a difficult one to recover from. And he has had his issues recovering from it. He had some regenerative therapy last week, was reevaluated on Monday, and expect to hear something soon, but it won't be very long, and we'll find out a little more about where Brandon Wright stands going forward for the rest of the season. And of course, you know, his recovery would be a huge benefit for the Grizzlies, and not having him has certainly caused some reshuffling in the big rotation. And while I am gratified and thankful that our free Deontay campaign has led to more minutes for Deontay Davis, the discussion right here on the pod. Those of you that have been listening to the pod, you guys know we here at Locked On Grizzlies have been full Deontay Davis supporters from the very beginning. So it's nice to see that, but I think the plan originally was for Brandon Wright to see a lot of those types of minutes that have been soaked up by him and some of the other bigs. So it's definitely changed the trajectory of their development. For sure. And, you know, if he can come back, that would be a great boost for the Grizzlies. The sooner, the better. We'll find out more pretty soon. Also, the rumor front is starting to swirl. And you would have to, you know, it's if there's pre-Thanksgiving trade rumors, you know it's probably going to involve the Sacramento Kings, right? It does. Of course it does. Turns out Dave Yeager has not been the complete healer that everyone in Sacramento hoped he would be. He has not been the cure-all for all of their organizational deficiencies, and there are many organizational deficiencies. Now the rumor swirling that Willie Cauley-Stein could be available, or, of course, the ever-present DeMarcus Cousins, my man Boogie. He's always available and not available at the same time. He is the Schrodinger's cat of trade rumors, and I will believe none of it until he is actually moved. I, of course, am on the record as saying I love Boogie and think he will thrive outside of this dysfunctional nightmare in Northern California, but we may never know. I think you give him a strong coach, strong team. He's a difference maker. He's tremendous. Love the guy. But you don't want to get me started on my discussion about Boogie. I want to focus on Willie Cauley-Stein because I think if you are the Grizzlies and you are sniffing around and you can find a way to turn Jarrell Martin, sorry, Jarrell fans, or Jermichael Green. Again, what are you going to do long-term with Jermichael Green? He's in the last year of his deal. He has started and has played pretty well this year, but does not necessarily profile as a guy that is going to be a long-term cornerstone. And he's 27. So he's a bit of a tricky one. If you're going to bring him back, if you plan on re-signing him, then that changes things. But if you don't, then you need to start considering longer-term looks away from him if that's possible. And I would just say if you could turn some kind of a package involving one of those guys, maybe some other prospect, maybe Rade Zagorak, something like that. If you could consider some kind of a mesh of prospect and young player type thing, something that would appeal to the Kings, if you could find a way to get Willie Cauley-Stein, I think he would be perfect for the system that David Fizdale wants to run defensively. And I don't think that the Grizzlies really have too many guys. It's one of the reasons why I've been, plugging Deontay Davis as a starter or as at least a serious role player for a while. He is one of the few guys that fits the criteria of what the Grizzlies need from one of those big spots in this Fizdale defense. Well, guess what? Willie Cauley-Stein is like the guy. He has not developed in Sacramento, but part of that I think is because of the defense that Dave Joerger runs right now. It isn't conducive to his success. He's not, Dave is not big on the switching. He's much more of a conservative pick and roll defender in execution. It was the same, or some similarities, I would say, not the same, but some similarities with what Lionel ran earlier. And so it doesn't really fit Willie Cauley-Stein's best attributes. It doesn't really mesh perfectly with the guy. I think you put him in the Fizdale system, and it's like duck to water. It's perfect because he could switch. He can guard smalls. He's got that kind of athleticism. You give him a chance to kind of be rangy out there and to take all that space and to be able to really just be big and long and athletic, go to town. He's not going to need to do that much on the offensive end, especially if you can surround him with four guys that can shoot. I think you can certainly get away with that. And he can rim run. His hands are not great, but he can rim run and finish like that. I like the guy. I've liked him. I think he's got a lot of things that you really like in a modern NBA big man defender, depending on the system. And I think he fits Memphis' system well. So as we keep hearing about trade rumors, I'm going to keep kind of bringing these up on the show, and guys that I think would be good fits or interesting fits at least, I'll focus more on. He is certainly one of them. Mario Chalmers, by the way, his name has been in the news over the last couple of days, as he's getting closer and closer, and he's just about cleared now officially medically to return to action. And though I think we all are aware that Andrew Harrison and Wade Baldwin are trying their best and have both, more Harrison than Baldwin, but both have shown flashes and had occasional good games, the Grizzlies are in desperate need of some help at the backup point guard position. They really need help at the two spot as well, but you have to kind of do what you can do, and I think the benefit of Mario Chalmers and what he can provide would be instantaneous. Huge upgrade. I don't think the Grizzlies can have aspirations of doing very much in the postseason or maybe even getting to the postseason if you are really relying on Andrew Harrison and Wade Baldwin to play significant backup point guard minutes. I just don't see it. So you have to look to upgrade that position in addition to the others. Chalmers is a natural fit you would probably have to cut Troy Williams to get it done, but that's a price that is worth paying to get Mario Chalmers if he's healthy and he can play. And, you know, he's another guy that you have to ease back in, so that's not ideal. But I still think he would be an absolutely exponential upgrade over what either of those rookies can offer, and the Grizzlies have to upgrade that spot. Let me tell you about our friends over at SeatGeek. Man, oh man, this is the time. I was watching a little college basketball last night, the Champions Classic that was going on, Kentucky, Michigan State, Duke, Kansas, great games. There's lots of college basketball games. The Tigers are back in action around here in the Memphis area, for those of you that are listening in Memphis. And wherever you happen to be listening, you know, there's tons of college basketball, tons of NBA, lots of hoops. There's football going on, college, NFL. You need tickets to any of that stuff, SeatGeek. SeatGeek, SeatGeek. I can't say it enough. SeatGeek, they're great. Download the app from the App Store, whatever App Store you have, whatever apps you are, you know, whatever you've got, Android, iPhone, whatever. They've got you covered. They've got an app for you, and it is absolutely easy to use. It's perfect. It's guaranteed. That's the great thing. They scour all of the ticket buying sites out there so that you don't have to. There are plenty of them. What if you look at 6, 7, 8, 9, but it's that last one, that 10th one that you didn't look at that really had the great deal? Don't worry about that. Don't sweat it. Don't waste your time. Your time is a commodity. Don't waste your time looking for those tickets because you could find them on SeatGeek, because SeatGeek does all the work for you. They got their algorithm that takes care of all of that, so you know that you're getting the very best deal guaranteed. And you could see it visually. When you look at the seating chart, you can see green, yellow, red. It color codes it for you, so you know the ticket that you're getting is a great value. See that green? Boom. Go after it because it's a great deal. That's the perfect ticket for you. SeatGeek.com. And here's what you need to do. Make sure you type in the promo code. They'll be on the settings sidebar. Click on that. It's real easy. It'll say enter a promo code. Enter LO Grizzlies. LO Grizzlies. That helps you because it saves you $20 on your first SeatGeek purchase. It helps me because it lets them know that you heard the pod and their advertising is working out beautifully. It's a win-win. Please help the pod and, more importantly, help yourself. SeatGeek app, download it. Type in the promo code LOGRIZZLY. Save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek is awesome. You will love it. SeatGeek. Also, big congratulations and a big shout-out to our friends Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue, who are a part of our, I guess they're affiliated with our network. Danny does the Locked On Warriors, which is great. If you haven't heard that, check it out. If you haven't checked out their Dunked On podcast, it's really good too. Enjoy listening to those guys. They are going to be doing on Twitter Live halftime shows during games, during like national games. I think on Wednesdays, I think the ESPN games, they're going to be doing that. And it starts tonight. And it actually starts, they'll be doing it during the Clippers-Grizzlies game, as well as Warriors-Raptors. That's the doubleheader on ESPN. So they'll be popping in with postgame shows and halftime shows, too. Great stuff for those guys. It's awesome for those of you, if you listen to this podcast, you know you probably want a little more stat-based stuff. You really want some breakdowns. You want some more upper-level type NBA stuff. Those guys can provide it for you. They're terrific. Nate and Danny, congratulations to them. Check it out. You could follow Nate on Periscope at Nate Duncan NBA. Just go to your Twitter feed and you will see it at halftime of these games. Appreciate those guys and wish them all the best. That's a great thing for us, for them. Good stuff. Congratulations, Nate and Danny. Check out their broadcast starting tonight on Twitter and Twitter Live. Before we do the 3Q preview of the Clippers game tonight, I wanted to give you a quick look statistically after 10 games at where these Grizzlies compared to years past. And very interesting so far. A little early yet, but you are starting to get a feel for what this team can do well, what they can't do well, and what they do compared to years past. One thing that is an absolute abject disaster is the shooting thus far for the Grizzlies. There's really no other way to put it. it has been awful. And the Grizzlies at 42.2%, and that's actually a pretty big improvement over the last three or four games, because they were under 40%. So they've made a little bit of a move in the right direction. But that number nonetheless represents the worst total in modern Grizzlies history. And that's all of Grizzlies history, because there is no pre-modern Grizzlies history. Certainly since they moved to Memphis in 2001, they've never had a season shooting anywhere close to that. The worst shooting season that they've put out there is 43.6%. That was the inaugural season with Pau Gasol, Shane Battier as rookies. That's the worst shooting season that they've ever had, and this one so far is worse than that. Their shot attempts, by the way, also are down a little from last year, though they are roughly on par with what we've seen in the last 5 years or so of the grit and grind era. But it's just the fact they're not making very many. Now, points-wise, they're a little behind the last couple of years at 97.5 points per game. But they are making up the numbers shooting-wise because they are taking so many threes. Almost 26 threes per game attempted. That is by far a Grizzly record, and that one is not even close. They've never even been anywhere near that number. Recently, last year, they shot 18.5 threes per game. The year before that, they shot 15 threes per game. The year before that, they shot 14 threes per game. You get the idea. 13 in that neighborhood, that's where the Grizzlies have been at. And while this is a league-wide trend, it is especially apparent because the Grizzlies resisted it for so long. Now with David Fizdale, they're really embracing it, and it is a quantum leap. But they have doubled their three-point attempts since the year 2012. Big jump. So they're not shooting it at a particularly great percentage. I mean, only 32%. That is less than last year and the year before that and the year before that and the year before that. But they're taking so many that it's making up for it. They're making over 8 a game. That's a mark that they've never hit before. Everything else is relatively similar. Turnovers are a little bit up, 15.5 from 13.3 the last two seasons. So turnovers are up just a little bit. But by and large, that's the rest of the stuff, assists, rebounds, that kind of thing, are pretty much on par with where they've been in years past. To the more, I say more advanced metrics. They're not that advanced these days. Offensive, defensive rating, net rating, all that stuff. The Grizzlies' net rating is -6, so 6 points per 100 possessions worse than their opponents. That is a lot worse than last year, which ended up being -2.9 after all the crazy injury problems that the Grizzlies had in the last 3 months or so of the season. The year before that, they were +3, +1.2, +4.2. +2.1 in the last 4 years before that. -6 is a big drop-off. And most of that drop-off has come in the offensive rating, as you would expect, because their shooting has been so poor. Their offensive rating is 98.7. A far cry from last year's 102.6, 103.1, 103.3 in the previous years under Dave Yeager. And then 101.7, 101. Even and a 104.4 in the 3 years with Lionel Hollins before that. Defensive rating is also pretty bad at 104.6. Not as bad as last year, which was 105.4, but again, that was somewhat deceptive because of the last 3 months of the season. Prior to that, the Grizzlies have hovered right around the 100 mark for the most part, so the Grizzlies have been worse defensively and worse offensively, which explains why the net rating is where it's at right now. The Grizzlies at 500, 5-5. Now, some of that is skewed by the Minnesota game. And as a side note, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but that one Minnesota game where they rested Marc Gasol and Mike Conley and ended up getting blown out by 36 or whatever. What was that? What was that? We look now, and the Grizzlies, not only are they not even really doing anything resembling that in terms of resting players, but, I mean, if anything, they've gone the other direction. And, you know, Marc Gasol's played pretty heavy minutes compared to what we thought we would see in the first 10 games. Mike Conley's minutes have been pretty strong. You know, they're working Chandler Parsons back in. So I don't know. It seems like a real anomaly. Yeah, they tried the thing with Mike in New York over the first weekend of the season when they pulled his minutes back, in preparation for the 4 and 5 stretch that they had going right there. But that was really early in the season, and since then we've seen no real evidence of what the quote unquote maintenance program is as far as limiting minutes. The minutes haven't really been limited very much. So when I talked about that and was preparing for the pod, it just made me think how strange that really was and how we really haven't seen too much in the way of response to that. I do kind of wonder, you know what? I'm going to hold off on that question till we get to the 3Q preview. I've already digressed enough. So those are some of the comparisons after 10 games for the Grizzlies as a whole. The numbers, to be quite honest with you, are pretty ugly right now. So 5 and 5 flatters the Grizzlies, actually, based on those numbers. But there's plenty of time left to improve. They will get more healthy. They will get more consistent rotation-wise. Those things will all make those numbers improve. But after 10 games, it is fair to say the Grizzlies haven't been very good, and it's been a pretty rough start for the boys in blue. Well, sometimes you turn a corner only to slam right into a brick wall. The Grizzlies will hope that doesn't happen after they maybe turned a little bit of a corner in Utah. But that brick wall that's staring at them potentially is the LA Clippers. This is the 3Q preview of that game. We ask three mostly rhetorical questions to get you ready for the matchup tonight. This one is a late night, just so you know. It's the ESPN 9:30 tip-off, but those things typically don't even really tip off till around 9:40 or so. So strap in, get in for the long haul. If you're listening to this sometime in the morning, then maybe try to work yourself in for a nap. If you're in the afternoon and you're listening to this, then I'd suggest listening to something else. This thing's not going to put you to sleep, Jack. This is an exciting podcast, but maybe pause this, listen to something else, a little more soothing, and then come back and check out this 3Q preview before the Clippers game. And question number one is, do you realize just how good the Clippers are? I mean, I know the Grizzlies have already seen them once at FedEx Forum, and it wasn't really a great game. The final score wasn't indicative of the dominance the Clippers had, but think about this. They're 10-1, best record in the NBA. But this is where it gets a little crazy. Through 11 games, their point differential is plus 183. That is actually better than last year's Warriors team that happened to win 73 regular season games. That team was plus 179 through 11 games. This Clippers team is 4 points better than that team. That's saying something. They rank first in point differential, of course. They rank first by far in defensive rating, in overall net rating, in opponent field goal position, in field goal percentage, steals per game, and points off turnovers. They are a very good opponent, and their starting lineup is the best five-man lineup in the NBA by a mile of the lineups that have played together for at least 100 minutes. They are the best, and it's really not even close. So this is a hugely difficult matchup for the Grizzlies tonight. Never a place that they tend to play particularly well, but this one is going to be a real serious, serious challenge. Question number two, how long can Vince Carter keep doing this? What a remarkable story Vince Carter has been for this team. The best player that this team has. And he's shooting at the age of 39. He will be 40 and the end of January. And he is shooting the best field goal percentage. This year, his field goal percentage is better than it has ever been in any other season in his career, any of the other 19 seasons that he's had. This, so far, is his best field goal percentage at 47.4% from the field. Over the last three ball games, he's averaging 19 points, four rebounds, three assists, almost a steal, and a block per game, shooting 60% from the field and 41% from three. What? What? This dude is timeless. And he is playing his best basketball in years. And certainly his best basketball for the Grizzlies. That's not even close to debatable. He's playing great. How long can he keep it up? I don't know. Will his body allow him to continue to play at 30, 31, 32 minutes a game? I don't know. That's a very fair question, and one we cannot answer as of yet, because the guy's just, well, I mean, he's just doing stuff we didn't expect. There were people that were talking about cutting the guy, and he's putting up these kinds of numbers. He's crucial. He playmakes. He can handle the ball a little bit. He is a better defender right now than just about anybody else the Grizzlies have not named Tony Allen. So think about that. He's hanging with guys too. He's not getting overrun out there. It's really cool to see. And he is a genuinely good dude. So I'm really thrilled for Vince and thrilled to see that. Now, question number three is a little bit of a, I don't know, not provocative, but it just I'm just curious. Will the Grizzlies treat this as a rest game? And by that I mean, well, sort of like what we saw in Minnesota. You would look at this game based on the middle of the road trip. You're not playing like a 4- and 5-night stretch, but you are playing 4 on the road in 8 days in 4 different time zones, I believe. And certainly 3 different. So, you know, is that really what you want from these guys that are injury prone and that are on some restrictions and stuff? Wouldn't you be tempted to reduce or to altogether just sit them and take this as a schedule loss? I think that temptation, depending on how those guys feel, depending on how Mike Conley feels, how Marc Gasol feels, how Chandler Parsons feels, I think that has to be entering into the minds of the front office. It won't be entering in the minds of the players. It's the Clippers. And it won't be entering in the minds of the fans, but I just wonder if we won't see a real short leash. It's easier said than done when the game gets started, but I just wonder if we won't see a real short leash based on how the game goes and the need to rest these guys going forward. I hope that's not the case, but I have to wonder and think that there is a chance that it could be. Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to shoot me an email about the show, or if you want to find out more about advertising on this podcast, please feel free to email me whatever you want, peter@peteredmiston.com. That's peter@peteredmiston.com. Follow me on Twitter, @peteredmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Read me in the commercial appeal in the numbers game each and every week. Thanks go out to Audionautix as well for help with the music. And of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.